What if marrying for love was once considered as reckless as betting your life savings on a lottery ticket? For thousands of years, societies across the globe viewed romantic love as the worst possible foundation for marriage, a dangerous delusion that threatened family alliances, property rights, and social stability. The ancient Greeks celebrated passionate love between men while finding spousal affection mundane. Medieval Chinese had no word for love between husband and wife until the 1920s. In 12th century Europe, the Countess of Champagne declared it impossible for true love to exert its powers between two people who are married to each other. A Roman senator was expelled for the scandalous act of kissing his wife in public. Christian theologians warned that loving your spouse too much constituted idolatry. The idea that two people should choose each other based on feelings, then build a life together, what we now consider natural, would have seemed absurd to most of human history. Marriage served practical purposes, forging political alliances, organizing labor, establishing inheritance, expanding survival networks. Love might develop after the wedding, but it wasn't the point. As traditional society said, first we marry, then we'll fall in love. This radical shift, putting personal choice and emotional fulfillment at marriage's center, began only in the late 18th century, marking one of civilization's most profound transformations. Marriage emerged as humanity's tool for building cooperation beyond blood ties. Survival required extensive sharing networks. Marriage converted strangers into relatives, expanding your support circle. One anthropologist defined it as a relationship between two or more persons who reckon affinity by mating and extend this relationship to kin of the mate. Your spouse's family became your safety net, explaining why in-laws have always mattered and why their declining modern role creates both freedom and fragility. Marriage took wildly diverse forms. The Ashanti and Menangkabau maintained separate residences. Some societies assigned child support to one parent's lineage rather than the couple. China's Na people never developed marriage. Brothers and sisters lived together raising the sisters' children, while sexual relationships remained casual. As agricultural surpluses emerged, marriage fundamentally changed. Wealthy families stopped sharing resources broadly, shifting marriage from expanding cooperation to consolidating wealth and power. Dominant groups restricted marriages to preserve status and property. For ruling classes, marriage was the ultimate political strategy. Royal daughters became diplomatic assets, their unions negotiated to maximize advantage. Kings collected multiple wives from different kingdoms, sometimes housing them in separate courts to maintain distinct alliances. Inca emperors used similar tactics, marrying women from conquered territories to solidify control. The Catholic Church's sweeping incest prohibitions became a political weapon in medieval Europe. These rules were so broad that almost any match could be invalidated. The Church enforced them erratically, rarely investigating commoners while selling dispensations to nobles, creating both obstacles and opportunities for royalty. Noble women established crucial claims to wealth, inheriting and transmitting property husbands couldn't seize. Eleanor of Aquitaine's dowry doubled France's size when she married Louis VII, and she took it with her when she left. Though sent to live with their husband's family, queens built extensive power bases, controlling access to the king and distributing gifts to knights and officials. When Europeans adopted chess from the Muslim world, they renamed the most powerful piece the queen. For ordinary people, marriage was an economic necessity. Single-person households couldn't survive. A woman needed a man to plow. A man needed a woman to spin wool, preserve food, and grind grain. Both needed children for labor and old age security. As Hesiod advised, get first a house and a wife and an ox to draw the plow. Marriage meant drastically different things by gender. For men, it brought economic independence and expanded authority. In 13th century England, unmarried man and landless man were identical terms. For women, marriage marked adulthood but restricted legal standing. They lost rights to dispose of land, go to court, or handle their own affairs. Yet it remained essential for economic security and social status. In cities, marriage functioned as business partnership. Wives kept books, managed shops, acted as agents during husbands' absences, and continued businesses after widowhood. Urban trades were often two-person careers. When a spouse died, remarriage quickly followed to fill the job opening. The 18th century revolutionized marriage through two forces. Wage labor freed young people from parental dependence, while Enlightenment philosophy elevated individual rights and happiness. Love became the primary criterion for choosing a spouse. England's spinster acquired negative connotations. French couples demanded emotional attachment for valid marriages. Russian Tsar Peter the Great outlawed forced marriages, and Swiss courts released people from unwanted contracts. Literature shifted from knightly tales to domestic scenes, with Jane Austen satirizing arranged marriages. Wife beaters replaced female scolds as targets of community shame. This transformation created a peculiar compromise. Men and women were deemed completely different but complementary, neither superior nor inferior. Women's political exclusion was reframed as respect for their unique moral worth. As wage labor expanded, stay-at-home wives became middle-class status symbols. Women's labor, previously recognized as vital economic activity, became homemaking, an act of love rather than economic contribution. Their substantial unpaid work became radically undervalued in the world of cash transactions, creating financial dependence. Paradoxically, this economic subordination coincided with freedom from strict hierarchy. Spouses became soulmates rather than workmates. The 1950s marked marriage's golden age. Nearly 95% of Americans married, half of women by age 19. Rising wages enabled single-income families across class lines. Yet this stability masked domestic violence, marital rape, and widespread female unhappiness. When McCall's published The Mother Who Ran Away, it broke readership records. Red Book received 24,000 responses from mothers feeling trapped. The contraceptive revolution shattered this facade. By 1965, 6 million women used the pill, separating sex from reproduction. The 1970s brought sweeping legal changes. Title IX, Roe v. Wade, credit rights for married women, redefining marriage as an association of equals. The 1973 recession pushed women into jobs as wages declined. The divorce rate doubled between 1966-1979, reaching 50% by 1980. Cohabitation increased sevenfold between 1970-1999. By century's end, one in three American children was born to unmarried women. The revolution in family life has upended traditional assumptions. Highly educated women now marry more frequently than less educated women, and age gaps have narrowed dramatically. Low-income women often delay marriage, viewing it as something to achieve once financially stable. "I don't need a husband to help me scrape by," one woman explained. "Find me a man who's got a steady job and a mortgage and no jail time, and I'll marry him pretty damn quick." Women initiate two-thirds of divorces after 40, while college-educated couples now enjoy more stable marriages, reversing historical patterns. The democratization of marriage has made it simultaneously more fulfilling and more fragile. When couples must negotiate rather than defer to husband's authority, negotiations can fail. Yet successful modern marriages offer remarkable benefits: greater happiness, better health, and stronger protection against economic setbacks. Good marriages today require friendship, mutual respect, and negotiation rather than rigid rules. Unlike earlier generations who resigned themselves to their fate, modern couples consciously choose to stay together and work through problems. Marriage has become more fair, more fulfilling, and more effective at fostering well-being than ever before.